I want to say thank you for your prayers for my wife. Some of you know that her mother suddenly passed away last week, and so we had to take an emergency flight to Oregon for the funeral. But it's at those times when you're at a funeral, you realize how brief your life is. Isn't that true? How fleeting. You don't know when God's going to pull your number and take you home. And it was even made more realistic with this recent crash of our coach June Jones, and he's out of critical care, but he's not yet out of the woods. And we prayed for him last night as a church, and yesterday as a leadership people. But I tell you, you just don't realize how fast your life is zipping right by. We just have a little bit of opportunity left, a little bit of time. It's amazing how fast. How many of you would raise your hand and say, "Yeah, life is just zipping right by a lot faster than I realize." Yeah. Look around. That's a classic sign of age. Because I don't feel that way, but just wanted to ask if you felt that way. But it was no more poignantly known to me and made realistic as 2 years ago when I had a health challenge and my father had prostate cancer. So I was having the same kind of challenge. So I went into the doctor to have it checked, you know. And when he was checking for cancer, tell you, I think, man, my life is so brief. I just have a little bit of time left. And while I was there, I thought, I better get a full physical done just to make sure, you know. So I actually booked myself to go get a physical. And so then I went from there to get a full physical. And for those of you that might not know what prostate is, it's something right down by your foot, by your toe or something. I can't remember. Anyway, so I went to this doctor to get a physical. It was a Japanese doctor, you know, and they have to press on you all over to check, you know. This hurt, all this over here. And I had just come off of the eve before of a soccer game where I got a little injured on my hip right here, and so I was a little sore. And so he's checking and pushing, and he got down here where they check for, like, hernia. And so he's pushing, and I'm, ouch, I said, that hurts. He said, oh, might be hernia. So he pushed. I said, no, ouch. I said, no, I was playing soccer last night and I got a little injury. He said, no, might be hernia. Ouch. I said, when I say ouch, that means stop already. But it's funny, even though it hurt, he kept pushing. Because even though it hurts when I push, it's not supposed to hurt when I push. And so that means that something is wrong there that doesn't need me to defend it or justify it. It needs to be corrected and healed. And life is like that, isn't it? Sometimes life will press on you, and if you're sensitive in an area, it'll hurt a little bit. And sometimes we blame people, but really, the issue or the problem lies not with people's pressing. It lies with my injury or oversensitivity. And this doesn't need to be justified or rationalize or excuse, it needs to be healed or corrected. Happened just the other day. I was in a Time supermarket. I was pushing my cart down the aisle. I was shopping like any good husband would. And so, actually, Anna was still in the mainland for the funeral stuff, and I had come back early, and I was a bachelor for a few days, and I wanted to eat, so I had to go buy food. And so I was, you know, healthy stuff. I had Twinkies and Fig Newtons and Ritz crackers and just some of my favorite stuff. So I had that stuff in there. When I heard someone, lady, yell behind me, say, excuse me, aren't you Pastor Wayne Cordero? And I was in a real kolohe mood. So I stuck my hands up. I said, I didn't do it. And she said, no. She said, can I ask you a question? So I said, well, sure. She said, you want to know why I don't want to go to church? Well, right in the middle of the supermarket, go for it. Vomit on my shoes. Go ahead. No, I don't care. She said, the reason I don't want to go to church is because every time I go to church, they try to take my money. And I was still in this kolohe mood, you know, so I was going to have some fun with her. I said, what? She said, they always try to take my money. I looked at her and I said, you too. She said, yeah. I said, Yeah, I know, because they wrestle you down and they steal your wallet right out of your pocket. No. She said, well, not that bad. I said, they take your money and they lie to you. Say if you give money, they're going to give you a free Toyota or something. And so they take your money and they don't give you no car. She said, well, not that bad. And they make you put money in the bucket. And then they take your money, and instead of helping counsel people, heal broken marriages, and help other people that are sick or single or widows and stuff, they take your money and they gamble with it on chicken fights at Waipahu. She looked at me and said, I got things to do. She walked off. I thought, isn't that true? Sometimes what we think is a real important deal is really pretty lame when you think about it. And God does that too, doesn't he? He does a physical checkup on you by pressing some areas of your life to see if it hurts, because if he's pressing and it does, it shouldn't. And often we defend it when actually it should be healed and corrected instead. Isn't it true God will push on our mind sometime and just check your mind? How's it here? Not too bad, God, not too bad. How's about your machas? Not bad. How's about your heart? Not too bad. How's about your hands? Your hands been okay? Yeah, not too bad. And then he touches our wallet. How about this? Oh yeah, don't touch down there. You know how sensitive right over here, the backside? The Lord says, it shouldn't hurt when I press there. And instead of rationalizing and justifying it and excusing it, maybe it needs to be healed and corrected instead. And today, Jesus tells a parable that presses on the people's perspective about possessions. Now, the Bible calls possessions a funny word. He calls it mammon. And you'll hear that word from time to time or read it as you read the Bible. Mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N. And sometimes he calls it the mammon of unrighteousness. And now that word mammon is like an umbrella word under which is everything. Not just money, but money, stocks, savings, house, car, talent, skills, influence, ability. All of that is under this thing called mammon. That's for our stewardship in this life and how we use it and steward it. And it's called unrighteous because there's a shelf life to it. It's going to be good just for so long. Now, it's one of my favorite parables because this, among all the other parables, Jesus spends more time, and you'll see the other scriptures that we'll be using in our notes, all come from Luke 16, all from the same parable where he's explaining this one parable. Now, if you're anything like me, at first reading, you'll come to a wrong conclusion. You'll read it and say, what is he talking about here? But if you'll read on to the end, it will change your perspective on possessions forever. And that is my goal this morning, to help you take a new, fresh, and vibrant look at the way we use possessions or mammon that God loans to us to steward. The scripture or the parable is going to come up on the screens, and you can follow along with me. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 16, and I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. And let's take a look at this parable that Jesus uses. Now remember, he's a master storyteller, so don't call his hand too soon. Don't bring yourself to a premature conclusion. Let's go all the way to the end, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Let me begin at verse 1. Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And the steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? You'll give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. You see, what was happening was, this rich man had hired a money manager to steward his possessions, his properties, his money, his accounts. But word came to him that that money manager was either making poor purchases or using the master's money for personal gain But whatever it was, he comes in and says to the steward, I'm going to give you a two-week notice. Here's your two-week notice. Close off your books, and I want you to turn your books over to me. And you're finished. Oh, no, this guy says. 2 weeks, and the guy just walks out. Oh, no, he's thinking, I'm going to be out in the street in 2 weeks. Oh, no. And then he thinks, wait a minute, but I've got a little bit of time. I've got a little bit of opportunity. And I still have jurisdiction over my master's things. So I better plan for the future so that I'll have a place to go when my stewardship is taken away. So the steward said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, he said. This is it. So that when I'm removed from my stewardship, these people will receive me into their homes. So here's the plan. He calls and summons one of his master's debtors, and he says to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, well, I owe your master 100 measures of oil, which is 800 gallons of oil. He said, okay, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Just cut it in half from 800 gallons to 400. Just whip it in half. You're kidding. You mean you're going to let me just reduce my bill by half? That's right. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. He said, you're such a nice guy. If you ever have need of anything, if I can do anything ever for you, just ask. Don't worry, he says. I will. He summons the second debtor, and he says to him, what do you owe? He said, I owe 100 measures of wheat I still have to pay. I tell you what, take your bill and write 80. You mean just slash it by 20%? Yeah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, if there's anything you ever need from me, just all you got to do is ask. I will. Don't worry. Now, at this point, the listeners of this parable are going, yeah, what a terrible money manager. Boo, boo, hiss, hiss, down with the money manager. But then, this dishonest money manager who's giving this lesson, Jesus picks this up and spins the parable in such a way that people are just boggled. Let's read from your notes. Now, the master comes back, and let's read verse 8 and 9. The response of the master. Ready? Go. Now, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Stop there for a second. What? What? The people are saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. Something's going funny. That's right. The master comes back and says, you did good, dishonest manager. You did good. I got to hand it to you. You took a little bit of time that you had left, a little bit of money, and you converted it into lasting friendships. That's pretty good. So let's read. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Let's continue. Go. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Would you underline when it is gone? Because it will be. You will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Would you circle those two words? Because that is key to the understanding of this whole parable. Now, Jesus' audience at this point must be saying, whoa, whoa, tilt, tilt, time out. Wait a minute. Jesus, are you now calling bad good and good bad? And the dishonest manager that should have been reprimanded and punished, you are now commending and praising? I don't get this. And Jesus smiles and says, well, let me continue. And he says, I tell you, you got to use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. Some versions will say you got to use mammon of unrighteousness to make friends so that when this mammon or unrighteousness or possessions are gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. See, Jesus is a master storyteller, and he picks their curiosity, and then he begins to interpret the parable and apply it to us. He says, many times the people of this age understand the principles of using possessions and converting it into friendships that'll last longer than the shelf life of the money. They understand more how to use and convert and redeem this into longer lasting relationships. They understand this principle more than many people who are Christians understand it. So I want you to take a lesson from this unprincipled, dishonest money manager and apply it to eternal things. We are supposed to figure out how to leverage the time that we have, and we don't have that much time in this lifetime. That's it. You got to leverage the little bit of time you have and the opportunity and convert possessions, money, mammon, into something that will bring eternal benefit. Now, I know this dishonest manager did it with impure motives, but you need to learn the principle of converting what you have into something greater, because you only got so much time, so much opportunity. Now, let me give you an illustration. Some time ago, I received from a friend of mine a coupon for golf on the Big Island, and one of the more premier golf courses, for two people, free round of golf. I mean, it's like worth $140 or so, because for the Kama'aina rate, it's $70 each, and so it's a coupon worth $140. I said to Anna, and we golfed together, I said, Anna, look, honey, we can go over there and get a free round of golf. Man, would this be cool if while we're on that golf course? Oh, man, if only our friends could see us now. She said, "Ooh, this is going to be fun." That's okay. We'll plan on this. And I put it in the coupon holder, and I forgot about it. A year and a half later, I pulled this coupon out. Honey, we got to go and use this. We got to redeem this coupon. Oh, yes, she said, we got to go. Oh, this is so cool. And then I looked at it, and as I read it, it had, to my dismay, an expiration date. It said 1 year from issue date. And it was a year and a half later. Oh, no, this is out of date. So, oh, no, maybe we can use it. So I called up the pro shop. Excuse me, sir, I have a coupon here. And I explained the coupon, read it to him over the phone. But it's 6 months out of date. Is it still good? He said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. We cannot honor that anymore. I said, oh, please honor it. He said, no, I can't. You see, it was for a promotional thing that we were doing, and it's over now. The promotion is done, and sorry. I said, oh, isn't it worth anything? He said, it's worth nothing. I said, isn't there any value to it? He said, no, no value. I said, oh, wait a minute. Here's a little thing. It says cash value redeemable 1/20th of 1 cent. Click. Oh, no. Useless coupon. You see, I had some time and I had some opportunity, but that coupon in its original form is now useless. I had to take the time and opportunity to have converted it into something that would have been a wonderful experience for my wife and I. But because I didn't, it is now expired and it is useless. And Jesus in this parable says, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, and it will, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. So, okay, Wayne, I get this conversion kind of thing. We got to do that, but I still don't understand this eternal dwelling. There's an amazing principle, and you got to stay with me. Let me say it this way. When you die, you're going to give everything you have away. That's so generous of you. everything you have, you give away. I mean, you can't take it with you. Have you ever seen a U-Haul behind a hearse going up to the cemetery in Nuwanu? No. No, and that little thing that they put you in is too small for all, you know, my motorcycles and things. So it's going to have to be given away. You're going to give everything away that you own. Everything. I just want to congratulate you because you're some of the most generous people. You're going to give everything away. Your house, your cars, everything. You are so generous. Some people say, I'm not giving nothing away because nothing is over my dead body. Exactly. But by the time you die, the expiration is up. Because when you're dead, all the stuff and possessions are worthless to you. You cannot use them anymore. Can't. Even if you tried, the Egyptians tried, and when they died, they mummified them and put all kinds of possessions in there. Just years later, we steal it. You can try, it does not matter. You can't take it with you. It's useless to you. So what God is saying is rewind the tape from now to the time it expires. Can you convert this into eternal benefit and profit? That's what it means to be a steward. How good of a steward are you? You see, people's lives will be influenced in eternal ways if you steward it correctly. Well, wait a minute. Well, what are you talking about? You see, when you get to heaven, as the Bible says, and they will welcome you into eternal dwellings, if you'll use it correctly, there'll be a day that I'll get to heaven and someone will say, aren't you Wayne Cordero? And I'll turn around and say, well yeah, do I know you? Well, you don't know me, but you know when you guys took up a missions offering to send some of the people of New Hope to Nepal? I was very passionate about that, and I gave. Well, because you gave into the offering, that gift was converted into a missionary going across the seas. And when they did, they preached the gospel, and I got saved. I want to welcome you into eternal dwellings because of what you did. Your money was converted and redeemed into eternal purposes. Welcome to heaven. You see? Someone also say, aren't you Wayne Cordero? You know, you invited me to your church. I did? Yeah. And remember when I didn't have a ride, you picked me up? You used your car and converted it from being a personal transportation mobile to that Sunday. You converted it into something that would bring eternal results, and you picked me up. I came to church, and I heard the gospel for the first time. I received Christ into my heart, and I'm in heaven because of that. Welcome into eternal dwellings. Do you understand? It's an incredible opportunity. That's what he's saying. That we need to change it and convert it into something that would bring eternal result. Aren't you so-and-so? Aren't you Joe Blow or Susan Smith? Yeah. You know, I'm here because of, you know, the house you had?
Yeah.
You opened it up and you allowed some people to come. And there was a care group, a home group, a small group. And as you spoke the message, my heart was transformed. And I received Christ there because you used your home and converted it. You didn't leave it in its original state. You converted it, as it were, and used it for something eternal. And I'm in heaven today because of that. Welcome into eternal dwellings. You see, when you and I stand before Jesus, he's going to say, you know, I know what I gave you was in seed form. But did you convert it? Or did you leave it in its present state? Did you leave it in its original form? Or did you convert it into eternal things? I know I just gave you things in seed form, but did you eat the seed for yourself? Or did you plant it so five villages could be fed? How did you steward? You see, because everything I give you is a tool. Would you write that in your notes? Everything I have is a tool. It's a tool for eternal purposes. If you can change the way you perceive possessions and things or mammon, it's not just bad stuff. It can be redeemed. Like that coupon, it can be converted into something of eternal value. Don't leave it in its original state. Gotta think, how can I steward this and convert it and increase it? Because everything I have is a tool to be used in such a way that people's lives can be touched for an eternity. And one day people will be in heaven because of the way I use my possessions. And Jesus is saying we have an incredible opportunity to use what he's given to us and leverage it and increase it. Because it can be. Left in its original state, it'll be just worth a little bit. But if you'll invest it, watch what happens. And he says this all throughout the New Testament. Let's read in Matthew 25 now. He reiterates this from another angle. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 talents more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Do you understand it? See that? He says, don't leave it in its original form. Convert it. Invest it into eternal things. You'll double it. In fact, if you keep doing it, it'll be 30, 60, 100 times greater. I think every single person in this church has been in some way influenced for eternity by how someone used what God had given to them. We have a man in this church named Jimmy Kurita who, when we started New Hope, we had about 35 people. We were at Nu'uanu Elementary School. We didn't have any transportation vehicle, so he used his station wagon, would back it up to the office, and we had about 35 people, so we would put his back seat down, and we stuffed in about 45, 50 folding chairs. And then in the back, we put these heavy amplifiers for our sound system and close it, and he would then transport that stuff up the pulley to Nu'uanu Grade School, and the back end of his station wagon would just drag, you know, going up there. And then people would sit. And as the church grew, another man named Ron Chong had a pickup. And I said, Ron, do you think we could use the pickup that your son Craig is driving? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. He said, it's not mine anyway. I said, well, whose is it? He says, it's the Lord's. And let's, instead of it sitting idle in this parking spot by my house on the weekends, let's convert it into something of eternal value, and let's take the speakers and stuff and we'll transport it with that. I said, oh, this is great. He has since passed away. And we use his pickup so much that one day he just gave it to us. We still use his pickup today to transport stuff. He has since passed away, and I believe that when he got to heaven, someone said, you're Ron Chong, aren't you? Are you the welcoming committee? Yes, I'd like to welcome you into eternal dwelling. Well, how'd you get to be a part of this committee? Well, you see, Ron, you know the truck that you converted from being just a piece of metal that will fail one day? Before it failed, you converted it into something of eternal use, and it carried the speakers that one day I was invited to that church, and over those speakers, I heard the gospel. And because you were faithful to convert what you had into something of eternal use, I am in heaven today, and I just want to say, welcome into eternal dwellings. I am your friend. Are you understanding that? It is absolutely incredible. It is so powerful. There are over 200 people that open their house every week. And they convert one time a week their house into a care group where people can come together and learn about the gospel. I mean, it's just amazing. And when people sit around the kitchen table, they hear the word of God because how someone used their house. All of us have been touched by how someone has used their possessions and what God has given them jurisdiction over for the use of the kingdom. These flowers here, aren't they beautiful? They're fresh every week. Dale and Susan Tamashiro have a floral place that grows all of these things. And some time ago, they decided to take 1 acre and all that the Lord produced off of that, they would somehow convert it for eternal use by here or there at the office or somehow. And they are using this for the sake of eternity. See, that's what it's all about. Some of us may need to go home and look at our homes and look at our houses and our cars and figure out some way to convert it for eternal use. Some people say, oh, wait a minute. My house is like one perfect house. I've got white rugs that cost me chokala for buying. And I have white sofas. And I don't want nobody coming in and tramping all over my rug because it's white. Oh, no, they'll take off their shoes if they have a small group. Oh, I don't like their hauna feet making all stink the kind of rug. You know how hard to get that odor out? What about your couch? Nope, nobody gonna sit on my couch. It's white. And I don't want dirty kind seats on that to make it all brown. My couch is from C.S. Wool. Well, I tell you, there's a real easy way to convert that. Very easy. You know how? To convert it for the kingdom of God? All you gotta do is take some kind of cover and cover it, a sheet or anything, and it is now able to have people sit on it. It's just that easy to convert that couch for eternal use. Now you can have a small group in your home. It's just that easy. Roll up your carpet, put something over it. It's just that easy. Now you can convert it. You see, otherwise we have this beautiful house and we just protect it all our life until we die. And then one day we come before God in heaven and we say, God, I kept that perfect house perfect for my whole life. Nobody came into that house. Lord says, what house? Right there, that perfect house. The Lord looks and says, oh, all I see is ashes. That bugger burned. The expiration date was pow, and I went like that, bugger, he's gone. But I know it's gone now, but how did you use it before it went up in smoke? Oh, I just kept everybody out. Oh, you kept it in its original form. Oh, you didn't convert it. It's useless. You see, we need to begin to see things differently and from God's perspective. Because if I say, well, I don't want to use that for the kingdom, then number two, not only is what I have a tool, it is really how I use what I have. It's a test of my heart, whether or not I will allow what God has loaned me to be converted. It's really a test of my heart. Everything that I have belongs to God. Would you say that? Everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have comes from God. Everything I have comes from God. And I am a steward. I am a steward, not an owner, of the things He has loaned to me. See, He's loaned those things to you. We've got to figure out how to convert that into eternal use. And we've got one chance at it. We just got a little bit of time and a little bit of opportunity to invest that for eternal purposes. And the way I steward what He's loaned me is one of the ways that He evaluates the condition of my heart. Let's see how He explains this out of Luke 12. Let's read it. Ready? Go. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Did you catch that? Provide purses for yourself that will what? Not? And provide for yourself treasures in heaven that will not be exhausted. He says, you know, that's the true treasures. The true eternal riches are the ones that don't wear out. So I'm going to give you stuff in seed form, but you got to convert it into that which will never wear out. That will determine the quality of your stewardship. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, Who will entrust the true riches to you? Are you catching it? If I can't use this correctly and steward it, I'll never have true riches because I never converted it and it stayed in its original form. See, one day God's going to say to me, Wayne, what did you do with all of the stuff that I loaned to you? I recognize that it didn't have much eternal value in the present form that I handed it to you, but did you convert it, redeem it into eternal influence? You know, if we could all think that way and change our minds and see what we have differently, it will absolutely transform this church. And when the offering comes around, we won't go, oh boy, here comes the offering again. Here's a plate. Oh, it's three people from me. Two people. Right now, I'm going to talk to somebody. Hello, Mabel. How's it? Okay, goodbye. Oh, I was going to give offering, but already, pow, oh, sorry. I know you do that. I was watching you from the peephole. But instead, when that offering comes around and I take out my tithe check or a coupon, that's all this is a coupon, and I put it in this bucket. And what I believe God will do, and he does it every time, is he takes this and he converts it into something of eternal value. He converts it into like a video that we produce just hundreds of from these services and booklets that we make available to the prisons around this area. And did you know that in Wayava alone, 200 people have received Christ from watching that video? It's tremendous. We make that free of charge to the prisons, to Halava, to Wayava, to the Women's Correctional Facility in the Windward Side. Because people like us put this coupon in and God took it and converted it into eternal treasures that one day you and I are going to get to heaven and they're going to be waiting for us and they're going to say, welcome into eternal dwellings because you stewarded what God gave you correctly. Well done, God's good and faithful servant. Welcome. Because I give, God converts this into a radio program and I have a file of letters from people who have received Christ from the radio program that we have going out of here. Because people like you knew that God would convert something into something different, a different form. And we didn't just eat the seed ourselves, but we invested it and God used it. Listen, it's just coupons with an expiration date. This is a coupon that God can use and it has pictures of dead presidents on it. But if we will put it into his hands, do you see this will be converted into a missionary going across the seas? It'll be converted into materials. It'll be converted into a staff person or a youth pastor that will talk to your son or your daughter or their friend and lead them to Christ. And God says, well done, my faithful steward. You caught it. Oh, we have an incredible, incredible opportunity. In fact, everything I have and how I use it is not only a tool and a test of my heart, but would you write, it's a trademark of the people of God, a trademark. How I use my stuff, my gifts or my talents, my money, my possession, my influence does more to indicate, more than anything else, whose I really am. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. But you see, if I've overextended myself just to get more stuff, more accumulated possessions that I keep in seed form, then basically all I'm doing is collecting coupons because I have no desire to convert it at all. I just need to stack more coupons. It's got expiration dates on it. But I'm just going to stack coupon after coupon until I got piles of coupon. And I don't have enough room in my house. So I'm going to get more storage units. And I'm going to put coupons in there. Until I die with tons of coupons. Piles of coupons. And I say, oh, I'm so rich. And God says, you fool. For today your soul is required of you, and these are now useless to you. You cannot steward any more. Now you will stand accountable. Well, I'll give my coupons to my son. Yeah, he's going to then learn really well from you, and he's going to squander it and collect more coupons, and he's going to die. He's going to leave it to his kid, and they're going to squander it, and they're going to die. And they just pass on stuff with expiration date, and it could be five generations, and none of them have ever learned to convert it and redeem it for eternity. It's got to start here. And then it becomes a trademark of the people of God. Because even the people in this age know more about that than we do. Learn, take a lesson, and get it. Because when you change your mind, you see it differently. Oh, what tremendous things can happen. But what if I overextend myself? Then when you get your paycheck, you're paying the piper. I mean, if I've got tons of consumer credit cards, I've overextended myself, I'm driving an overextension of myself, I'm living in an overextension of myself, I got stuff piled everywhere, and when the bills come in, I'm paying my check to the credit card people for stuff I don't even remember I bought. I don't even have it anymore. And it's just going. And God says, I want you to redeem some of this because I'd like to do some stuff through you in the prison. I'd like to, God, but I can't. Why? Because I'm paying the piper over here. Listen carefully. If you miss everything else, catch this. Got to catch this. Ready? You must make a choice who you're going to serve. You're either going to cheat the world in favor of the kingdom, or you're going to cheat the kingdom in favor of the world. That's it. So important to catch that. Because we have to make a choice who we're going to serve. Now, let's read what he says, and I think you'll see it with me. Ready? Luke 16. Same chapter. Ready? Go. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Did you catch that? You got to make a choice. And if you'll change your perspective, I tell you, it's going to be just phenomenal. Now, we're going to conclude in this way. But before I do, if you're struggling with overextension, etc., we've got wonderful programs here at New Hope. Please take advantage of them. There's some financial classes, and you can sign up for them outside. It'll help you to be freed to be a steward rather than a slave to mammon, a steward of God. And that freedom is just outstanding. All right. Now, I'm going to conclude in this way, and you got to trust me, okay? Everybody nod like this. Okay, all right. I want you to put your books aside, and I want, now you got to trust me. Okay. I want everybody to take out their wallet or their purse. Go ahead. Everybody's got to do it now. Everybody. Check your neighbor. Now, if you're sitting next to your son or daughter and they don't have a wallet, take out a credit card and give it to them. If you don't have a credit card, take out some money and give it to them so that everybody is holding something, okay? All right. Got it? Everybody's got to do it now, like this. Okay? Okay. We're not going to take an offering. Relax. Okay. Now, I want you to hold this in front of you like this. Just hold it in front of you. Okay? All right. Here it is. Listen carefully. You are holding in your hand the God of this age. You're holding in your hand the God of this world. This has destroyed millions of families and millions of lives and robbed wonderful Christians from their stewardship by their lack of stewarding what God has loaned them, because this is not yours. Everything I have belongs to God. We are stewards, not owners. Now, on the other hand, if you convert this, it will influence millions of lives for eternity. choose who you will serve. Now, you got to keep trusting me, okay? All right, I'm going to have you do something that'll scare you a little bit, but fear not. I want you to take this, and I want you to exchange it with someone near you. You know the least. Could be in back of you or in front of you. Just exchange it. Go ahead. Some of you are just standing there with a shock all over your face. No way, cuz. Okay, everybody do it. Just change. Make sure you're not holding your own. Okay? Now we're going to take an offering. Give as generously as you can. No, just joking. All right, some of you are having a hernia, so exchange it back. Give it back to the person that you originated it from. Okay. Now, we're not done, so don't put it away. Hold on to it. Not done, almost done. Now, the feeling you felt when you had someone else's wallet or purse, like this isn't mine, that one's mine, I'm checking on that. When you exchanged it back and you got your own, that feeling should remain because still what you have is not your own. It's not your own. It's God's. And we're stewards of that to convert it, get it out of its present form into eternal forms. And sure, we got to be a steward and got to pay bills, etc. But it's much greater than that. It's much grander. Now, I want you to take this and put it in the hand opposite your watch or where your watch would be. Okay? Got it? Hold it in the opposite hand. Here's how we're going to conclude. Listen carefully. Here it is. You have a little bit of time and you have a little bit of opportunity to invest what God has loaned you for eternal purposes. You have a little bit of time. You have a little bit of opportunity to steward what God has given to you on loan into eternal benefit. How are you doing? If you catch that, it will transform you. And if we can all change the way we think about possessions, and change the way we think about ownership versus stewardship. If you'll change the way you look at money, we can change the world. You can put your wallets away. What if it's true?